Ira, one thing we learned when we were at Bill Curry Ford, a fan who was there, who said hello to you, he said he drives around looking for a cherry red Ford Escape, and when he sees one, he wants to see if you're inside it. That's what's going on around town. People are looking for you in your cherry red Ford Escape from Bill Curry Ford. How's it running?
You know, it's fantastic. And I thought that day at Bill Curry Ford was fantastic. Sean Sullivan, one of the great general managers in any business, because he's personally involved. We were doing our podcast with Sean, and all of a sudden, one of the salesmen brought up this couple, you know, up to the room. Steve, you got to remember, they had no idea that we were recording a podcast that day. That's not the reason they came into Bill Curry Ford. They came in to talk to Sean Sullivan, get the Kaufman discount, see what the situation is with the inventory, you know, with the timing of everything. I thought the whole thing was arranged, but it wasn't, Steve. It absolutely wasn't. And you got to think, if it happened that day, which was just by random, you got to think it happens all the time, Steve.
You thought it was a joke, Ira. They interrupted the podcast. We were on a roll there drinking beer. But no, it was pretty cool to see. But that's how it is. Sean Sullivan, Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. He helps Bucks fans personally with whatever they need. Bill Curry Ford, family owned, 61 years, BillCurryFord.com. Yay, yay, yay. Bucks fans, here he is. Here he is. The sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. It is the Ira Kaufman podcast, starring Mr. Kaufman himself. Ira, I am fired up to talk to you today. We have had a good stretch of podcasts here that everybody can listen to at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, wherever. Subscribe. And what's going on, Sage? We got training camp on the horizon.
Absolutely. And we'd be remiss, Steve, if we didn't mention that we are joined remotely by a man going up and down the I-95 corridor, Mr. Lee DeKepper. Welcome, Lee. I'm a little soggy, gentlemen. I'm a little soggy. Left my house a half an hour ago to take the garbage out. It was pouring. Didn't have my tennis hat on. Played tennis this morning. I'm more wet now than when I finished two sets. But, Lee, the garbage must go out. The garbage must go out. That takes priority. And now we have an idea about training camp, Lee. We got the dates. And most importantly, for Mr. DeKepper, the Baron of Savannah and Charleston, Lee, the bleachers will be back. The bleachers will be back, and that's great news for Mr. Lee DeKemper.
I know some fans are upset because it's not open to general admission, and that doesn't surprise me because the NFL is still pretty strict on their protocols and trying to, if I remember correctly, anyone that doesn't have a V card, they're not allowed on the premises at all, period. Doesn't matter if you're media, doesn't matter if you're a janitor, doesn't matter if you're a member of the media who will be a janitor when you get laid off. So trying to validate, you know, how many people come in for a regular training camp practice. 2,000, 3,000 people? The staff you'd have to hire, you know, that'd be crazy. I mean, it's unfortunate, but it doesn't surprise me.
Steve, I think Lee's absolutely right in that regard. You know, logistics maybe made it, impractical, Steve, to bring in, the Buck fans that are not season ticket holders, the upper crust, so to speak. But it's really a shame, Steve. I mean, it's a shame because this is the second summer, and the second summer with Tom Brady, of course, that Buck fans can't come out in force. You know, the average run-the-mill Buck fan, like the three of us. And it's very unfortunate, Steve, that the remnants of COVID are still around us. And, you know, now you got to wait for 2022 in the summer. And who knows if Brady will be there and who knows we'll be back to normal. But, Steve, it's a tough situation if you're not a season ticket holder.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. And I got to say, it's a steaming pile of bullshit, Ira. Let's get this podcast going here.
Whoa.
It's a steaming pile of crap that they didn't figure out a way to get let the regular guy fan in there, even if it was 10% of the attendance, open to the regular guy who doesn't have the money for a season pass. Boo on you, Team Glazer. Brian Ford spoke. He said capacity is going to be 2,000. in training camp because they want to spread out a little bit, and that's the cap. And he was asked about not letting the average guy in there. And he said, look, you know, with 2,000 seats, we don't even have enough room for everybody who has a season pass. And that sounds very nice, Ira. It sounds nice in the voice, but not everybody wants to go to training camp. Everybody who owns a season pass or, you know, corporate tickets and all that stuff. And to me, it's just very depressing. It's like you could have figured out a little way to do it. Plus, they're having their Women of Red night. Okay, you've been there, Ira, where they invite encourages women fans to come out in force and wear red, and they I believe they sign them up, or there's some sort of mailing list or something. But the Women of Red night is going on, and other people will be there who are not season pass holders. They should have found a way to let some guys in there for each practice, and I hope they figure it out. I hope at least they have a way to allow somebody who gets an electronic pass to transfer that to somebody else. If I'm a season pass holder, like Dr. Wank as an example, and I can't go, at least I can transfer it to some regular guy. And Lee, I got to say, there's nothing on the press release that went out to fans that says you have to be vaccinated to go to training camp practice. So I don't think that's an issue at all. Otherwise, they certainly would have put it on the news release, and Brian Ford didn't mention anything about that. So I'm a little mad, Ira.
You know, Steve, we've been doing this for 5 years, and I got to say, that's one of your great rants, one of your great diatribes. And I can't disagree with you, Steve. You know I'd love to. I can't. Because beyond being unfortunate, it seems a little bit unfair. It does. Couple of points, Lee, that Steve made. Not all these season ticket holders go to training camp. The vast majority don't. They work.
Jobs?
Yeah, and I'm not saying that the run-of-the-mill Buck fan doesn't have jobs, but they're more flexible, generally speaking. Lee, this is 2 years in a row. 2 years in a row. Now, last year, nobody could say anything. You know, nobody showed up. Okay, this year, you're making a conscious decision who you will let in on the premises to cheer Brady and company, and maybe things will change. Lee, we got another month to go. Policies can change. There could be a groundswell about this. It just doesn't seem fair to the Buck fan that's been agonizing over this team through the thick and thin, and it's been a lot of thin, Lee. You know that. Throw him a bone and let him go out there and watch Brady and company in action.
The broader issue I have here, the NFL, greedy as it is, and I'm a capitalist. I'm not. More money you can make if you could do it, pull it off. And legally, I have no problem with that. But as hungry, that's a better term, as hungry as the NFL is for revenue, always. I can't believe they don't sell a package that you can watch training camp practice. The ones that are open to the public, you can't watch training camp practice from the comfort of your home on your computer or at work, wherever. They don't have the online access. It still blows me away that the NFL hasn't allowed that. And I emphasize open practices. The freaking practice is open. That always blows me away. And I'm sure there are Bucks fans all over the place that would love to watch training camp practice online. And maybe one of these days they'll do that. I mean, they find nickels under their couch all over the place. I mean, I'm just really surprised they haven't done that. I can only assume it's the coaches don't want it.
That would be the objection, Lee, is the competitive advantage issue with the practices and going to school on what people are doing.
If I was, I don't know, Daniel Snyder, and I had a buddy of mine that had a vacation home in Tampa, here's a couple $1,000. Just go out there and Bucks practice and record it. No way you could stop that. So yeah. What's the difference between doing that or, you know, having these things online?
You know, Steve, we understand and we acknowledge the point, Steve, that you want to cater to your season ticket holders because you want to keep encouraging people to get the season package. I mean, that makes sense. That makes sense. The more season ticket sales you make, the more you'll know how many tickets are distributed in each game, and it's a comfort level. You don't know about walk-ups to each game. They vary. You don't know. It's a variable. Steve, having said that, you want to cater, but in this particular case, training camp, you got to throw a bone to the rank and file, Steve.
The official date, the first practice, is July 25th. It's a Sunday. You know, so they've got it sort of outlined for each group. First starts off season pass members, and then stadium club members day, and then it rotates back to season pass members. There's a military day, Women of Red Day, Community Day, which is Special Olympics and Arians Foundation. You know, couldn't they just have Fat Beer Drinking Slob Day? I mean, come on. It's under my skin, Ira. Just, you could have devoted 100 seats to the rank and file, you know, guy who's just dying to get in there, who's making $12 an hour and isn't shelling out for season passes. I mean, you can't forget the regular folks, Ira.
This is a continuation, Steve, of what's been happening last 10 or 12 years. Remember they used to have a fan fest?
Yes.
Then they got rid of that.
Yep.
Then they used to have night practices. Then they got rid of that. And then I specifically remember Brian Ford saying, oh, you know, we're not going to have those anymore, but we still invite our fans out to the training camp practices. They're open to the public. Well, now they're getting rid of them.
Yeah, this is a tough one. It's a little too corporate for my taste.
It's drip, drip, drip. Access for the regular six-pack fan. Drip, drip, drip. Your access is lessening by the year.
Sage, let me clarify something. So far, and we know from experience and just the reality, the schedule can change. Things can be tweaked and changed and all that stuff. So as it stands now, every practice is at 8:30 a.m., and there is no practice at the stadium. So it's all at $1. Brian Ford didn't say anything about anyone going into the indoor facility. So, right. And there's no notation that X practice will be inside. So I don't know how they're going to do that. But, you know, things could still change. The Bucs could still make some tweaks here. Maybe they don't get a big response for training camp at 8:30 in the morning, and they open it up, the remaining tickets to fans, regular fans. So we'll see. But I don't like the start out of the gate, Ira, like you said. It doesn't sit well. Ira, one thing that people can't see in this podcast is that it's one heck of a storm right now coming down. And you know what that means? People are going to have holes in their roofs, leaks, damage. That's what happens. What do you do when you have that in your house?
Well, you call Florida's Elite Restoration. And Steve, you know, a lot of people that do endorsements, this has been going on forever. They never use the product. They're never really familiar with the product. They don't know anybody that's ever used it, a service, a product. That's not the case here. We know people that have personally been involved with Florida's Elite Restoration on more than one occasion and can't say enough about the quality of the service and the quality of the employees. So I think that makes a big difference. We don't go about, you and I, Steve, endorsing things that we don't know anything about. Florida's Elite Restoration is your number one destination if you think you might have any possible issue with mold, and you call them first before your insurance company.
Absolutely, Ira. Fire, whatever it might be, floridaselite restoration.com. Floridaselite Restoration.com. You can call them 24/7. You'll get a free assessment in your home, and you'll be glad that you did. Floridaselite Restoration.com.
We also found out the Monty Kiffin induction, Ring of Honor induction, will carry over to this year, but there will not be, Steve, an additional new one for 2021. So it'll just be Monty Kiffin in the spotlight. We don't have the date. We don't know which home game it will be, but, you know, that's going to be a fun one for Buck fans to be able to salute Monty Kiffin. And, guys, I hope Buck fans don't hold it against Kiffin the way the 2008 season, the last time he was in the organization. And it didn't end well, Steve. We all know the story. A month left, it came out that he's going to join his son. And a lot of people, Lee, including people in the organization, think that those two things are linked directly.
I've always had an issue with the entire premise. Probably the first breaking story Joe Bucks fan had in the existence of the site. We were tipped off by people at Clemson that Lane Kiffin was shopping for a job at the time. And so Lane Kiffin was going around interviewing with their openings, and he was shopping his dad around saying, you hired me, and my dad's coming with me as defensive coordinator. So there's stuff like, oh, we found out a month ago. Hell, I wrote about it 3 months before that, maybe. So it's if people say that was a shock, they had their heads up the rear end. That's number one. And it's a slap on guys like Rondé Barber and Derek Brooks that they crumbled mentally because Monty Kiffin announced he was leaving. I think way too much of those guys to jump to that conclusion that, oh, these guys just they collapsed mentally because they couldn't handle this dire situation. Their coach is leaving it. But it makes those guys look small. And I don't believe those guys are small. Just don't buy all that.
I tend to agree with Lee on that point, Steve. I mean, it's convenient. It's a convenient crutch. Oh, we're losing our defensive coordinator. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Steve, it's the talent that made that scheme work. I mean, let's be honest. Five Hall of Famers, Steve, on that side of the ball. At least you can make strong cases. Three of them already got gold jackets. It's not a stretch to think that two more of them can do it. And I ain't talking about Dwight Smith either. But but Steve, I think Monty Kiffin will be get a warm reception, and he deserves it, Steve.
Ira, did you guys, Lee, did you see Tom Brady with James Corden the other night on the Late Show there?
Very little, if anything, to football. I'm not a Corden fan. I watched all 11 minutes of it, and I pissed away 11 minutes of my life.
I'm not sure I picked up one word of that song that Brady was singing, Steve.
I was curious if you were going to go to the show tune route, Ira. I'm just curious. Yeah, there's nothing football in there, but I just thanks for the one-liner, Ira.
That skit was so predictable, so set up, so forced. I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. I guess I'm out of the loop, man.
Steve, it's refreshing to see Brady having a good time, having fun. He's not hitting the playbook on June 22nd. He's going to play golf, you know, this made-for-TV event. I don't think I'm going to watch it, but a lot of people will. You know, let the guy have fun. July 24th rolls around. It's going to be all about football for Tom Brady.
I was more into the HBO teaser clip about Brady referring to some NFL quarterback as a mother effer, and because he was so bad. That was more up my alley, but...
It's gotten a hell of a reaction. Lee, somebody on Twitter today mentioned Drew Brees. Hey, do you think Brady could have been referring to Drew Brees? I said, absolutely not. That's crazy. He's not going to call Drew Brees a mother effer. He's not.
I wouldn't think so. Now, Michael Lombardi, you know, the former coffee fetcher for Al Davis and Bill Walsh and Belichick, he knows Brady pretty well. And obviously, they work together in New England. Lombardi puts forth a whiff that he's tight with Brady. Once in a blue moon, he'll see stuff like, well, I talked to Tom. And this subject came up. Who was he talking about? And Lombardi thinks it's one of two people. And he said he was confident that Brady wanted to stay on the East Coast if he couldn't go to San Francisco. Lombardi said flat out he would never say that about Jimmy Garoppolo. So that eliminates Garoppolo. Lombardi thinks it was either MVP Mitch Trubisky or the bearded one, Rotten Ryan Fitzpatrick, down in Miami at the time.
Steve, I'm not sure this story isn't totally bogus. and I'll say it again. I said it the other day, Steve. I'll say it again. My information is that the Buck pursuit of Tom Brady was wrapped up very quickly. Bucks never wavered in their desire to land Brady. And according to the people that I've talked to, Brady decided very quickly that he was coming to Tampa and didn't seriously debate other suitors once the Bucks called him. And the Bucks called him the first freaking 5 minutes that they were legally allowed to call him. So, you know, maybe some stuff happened behind the scenes before that, Steve, but I'm not sure that wasn't just made up.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff going on with all of this. And Jeff Darlington, who has an in with Brady's camp, it's become obvious he's broken various Brady stories. And he's open about it, how he connected to Brady. And he's an ESPN insider. And Darlington was talking on the air the other morning about how the Saints were very interested in Brady as they figured out the Drew Brees situation. And he said, quote, I think that people still underestimate how close Tom Brady was to signing with the New Orleans Saints. And I'm listening to this and I'm like, this is the biggest steaming pile of crap I ever heard. I mean, in order to be very close to signing somebody, you have to make the guy an offer. Are we to believe the Saints made Tom Brady an offer while they were waiting for Drew Brees to decide? That's preposterous. And of course, the Saints stuck with Brees and they won the division.
Steve, I think the Bucs did the full court press on Brady, led by Arians. And the Bucs checked off all the boxes and he picked Tampa. And the rest is sour grapes.
Yeah, I mean, I would think if Brady was interested in the Saints, honestly, I think the first thing he would do, Ira, maybe you guys think I'm crazy here, I think he would call Drew Brees and says, "Hey, Drew, you going back or what? I don't want to talk to the Saints if you're coming back." And I'm sure.
Right.
And meanwhile, these guys have the exact same quarterback coach, Tom House, who is Brady's quarterback mentor. And Tom House lives next door, same block, actually, same block as Drew Brees, and was with him all through the pandemic. So it's like I'm sure the communication was wide open, and obviously Brees was coming back the whole time. So I don't know. It's a little slimy. The other thing Jeff Darlington said, which is funny, Ira, is that there were a ton of internal communications with the Raiders that they were just going crazy in-house thinking about making a run at Brady, but ultimately didn't.
It's a one-way communication, Lee. That was a one-way communication with Gruden putting the full court press on. But if I'm Brady, let's be honest, the Raiders are not a good football team, Lee. They're not. They got a lot of holes. They don't have receivers like Evans and Godwin, not even close. And you mentioned he wanted to stay close to New York, fairly close. Well, Vegas, you know, that ain't across the street. What made sense was Gruden wanted Brady. But it takes two, Lee. It takes two.
Ira, I cannot believe it's almost July, and that means before you know it, you'll be back at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. The flagship location, sitting outside, inside, wherever you feel like it, watching Bucks road games with Bucks fans. It's here. It's almost here again, Ira.
You know, Steve, if we could get through that last year, through the pandemic, which we did, and we didn't miss a road game, it's going to be even more fun, Steve, this fall. Masks are out. Nobody's going to be wearing a mask. You're not going to be worried about COVID. And the same great groups will be out there, and I think we'll have even more people. Steve, I'm looking forward to it. I guess the road games don't come till week three, maybe, when they go out to play the Rams.
Yep.
But hopefully the Bucks are 2-0 at that point, Steve, and we're gonna have a blast at Big Storm Brewery.
And the Big Storm locations include Orlando at Amway Center, where we're going to make a trip out there at some point, Ira. Maybe not for a Bucks game, but we'll see. Maybe so. I'm not sure. And in Odessa, the location near your house, indoor seating only there, and just a great vibe in that place. And of course, down in Cape Coral, and coming soon to Ybor City, Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer. Wavemaker Amber Ale, the Bromosa, so many greats. BigStormBrewery.com. Look for it in the stores, and you can use their storm tracker right at the website. Punch in your zip code, and you can find out where to get Big Storm near you. That's what it's all about. All right, Ira, you know, hopefully we'll have some answers to these mysteries. Man, HBO, like Lee said, got a ton of mileage out of it. Brady got thrust into the spotlight, and people are talking, and, he always manages to do it. One of the higher profiles of any NFL player this offseason. Sage, I wanted to ask you, it was a little topic on SiriusXM NFL Radio, and it's a mystery, and we've touched on it a couple times before. The NBA approach, will that come to at the NFL this year, in the sense of 17 games, we got to get these guys rest. Maybe we'll give a guy a day off. Maybe we'll play him a half. Maybe we'll pull him a hell of a lot quicker. Because you know how it is, Ira, in the NBA, there have been issues where, third game, road game in 4 days, the hell with it. We're not playing a great opponent. We're going to sit a couple of stars. And, of course, the league doesn't like that.
Simple mathematics tells me that's not going to happen in the National Football League. Coaches' jobs are always in jeopardy for the most part, unless you work for the Steelers. You got to win. You know what I'm talking about. 16 games or even 17 as compared. I believe the NBA played 72, but the regular NBA is 82. The NHL plays about 80 games, 162 for baseball. Lee, we're talking 16, 17 games here. Each game counts for 4 or 5 NBA games. You can't sit Donovan Smith for a half a game in week 12 or you say you're not going to play him for general rest purposes, that's not going to happen in the NFL. Even if it went to an 18th game, I don't think it'll happen, and that might be a few years away.
Michael Lombardi, on his podcast, mentioned, he did the math on this.
I got more listeners than Lombardi. Forget about him.
Well, with Lombardi, he did the math on this. And I want to say, claimed it was 7 or 11 plays a game comes out to a full game's worth of snaps. For example, I think it's like 50 to 60 snaps a game, offense and defense. And he said, you do the math on that, it's like either 7 or 9 or 11. He goes, so I would tell, he goes, if I was running a team, I would tell the coaches, find a way to get your guys on the offensive line and the defensive line, but especially the offensive line, find a way to get these guys about 7 snaps of rest a game. If you got to adjust the game plan, if you got to, as Bill Parcells famously said, slow the game down. Whatever you have to do to find a way to get these guys 7 or 9 or 11 snaps, whatever it was, a game.
The math says it's only like 5 snaps a game, because if you, you know, if you multiply 16 or 17 times 4 snaps, you know, that's way more than a game's worth of work.
That sounds good, Steve, in theory. Sounds good. Try telling a coach whose job's on the line, pull your left tackle for 2 series a game. That's not going to happen.
You sort of made the point in a few ways here, and because you're talking about coaches whose jobs are in jeopardy. Well, Bruce Arians is one of those few coaches whose job is not in jeopardy. So I think there's a little bit different mentality, but let's just take the Jets game, right? Second to last game of the year. It's an AFC opponent. And of course, you know, those don't really factor into your playoff situation. You know, if the Bucs haven't clinched the home field advantage, but, you know, they've got the division locked up and maybe they want to guarantee that these guys get at least a week off, you know, maybe they sit a few veterans, 4 or 5 veterans against the Jets on January 2nd. I don't know. I don't think it's that far-fetched, Ira. But earlier in the season, at least the Bucs' schedule, I don't see an opening where they would even consider something like that. I don't know if they would do that in Indianapolis at the end of November, maybe try to, you know, get a guy off or something. I don't think so, but I don't know. What do you think about that late Jets game? Is there any scenario where you could see that the Bucs would not yet have the number one seed, but they'd have the division locked up and say, you know what, these guys, you're taking some time off?
No, I don't think the 17th game would be a factor in that consideration. You're either going to do that or you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it because there's a 17th game. You're going to do it because you want your guys fresh for the playoffs, even if it was a 16-game schedule. Personally, Lee, I think the Bucs would be driven to get the number one seed. I think most teams would. When you had 2 bye teams in the playoffs, that's totally different. Now you got 1 from each conference. And everybody wants that number one seed. Now, look, it didn't work out for the Packers or the Chiefs, but both of those teams reached the conference title game. Lee, you can't say it doesn't matter. History tells us it matters a great deal. So I don't think those kind of calculations, Lee, would be because of it's a 17-game regular season. Maybe I'm not giving enough weight to this additional game. Maybe. But I will say, over the years, Lee, the Buck offensive line, to this point, seems to be holding up very, very well from a 16-game regular season. No reason to think they're going to fall apart with 1 additional game. It's all about the breaks of the game, and I don't see Ali Marpet sitting just because there's an extra game. I don't see it.
Well, what's the common denominator with both the teams with the bye in the playoffs last year? What's the common denominator with those 2?
Well, they both had the conference title game at home.
What was the other common denominator?
Great quarterbacks.
You know? Oh, yeah, but there's a glaring one you're missing. They both got their rears kicked by the Bucs.
I don't know if the Packers got their rears kicked. I don't know about that, Lee. But I know your point.
Bucs fans mad, Ira.
I know your point, and you're right. The Bucs outplayed Green Bay, and they overcame 3 picks by Brady. And still beat them on the road. I mean, that's a hell of an accomplishment for the Bucs.
In Green Bay, too, yeah.
Yeah.
Ira, you know, we've been savoring the whole state of the Bucks, the whole state of the offseason. You know, it's just been unthinkable and just unimaginable, and we're all on this huge high. But, and it feels like Jason Light's done. He's sitting back. He's got his feet up. He's drinking a Big Storm beer and just waiting for the season to roll around. But I got to ask you this, Ira. You know, the Bucks still have players that they could sign to new deals and, you know, massage some more money from this cap or from the future cap, you know, sitting there with a guy like Chris Godwin. I mean, they could still tear up the franchise tag and re-sign him to a new deal if both sides wanted to. Vita Vea is eligible for an extension, and, you know, they could still make some moves, and there's other guys that they could sort of play with if they wanted to sign long-term. Do you think there's anything left here, anything left that they might do, even a Ryan Jensen or whoever it might be, in order to just sort of find some more money for this year to make a move if they have to, or to even just make any significant move that might be there to make this team better, since they know that they are so primed to repeat?
I wouldn't be surprised if Light does something. Now, look, they're going to have, you know, a lot of questions after the season. Just look at the running backs. I mean, Fournette, you know, and Jones are in line to be UFAs in 2022. Their contracts will run out. Jones's rookie contract runs out. Fournette's on a one-year deal. But you mentioned Godwin and Vea. And, Lee, it's very hard, very difficult for me to think, injuries aside, that either of those guys, either of them, would not be on the Bucks in 2022. It's hard for me to imagine that. They absolutely will be. We've documented, we've chronicled, Lee, in great detail, the impact Vea makes on this defense, and it's substantial, which might be a little bit surprising, you know, for a guy who's not a great pass rusher, but he affects everybody around him. Arians loves Godwin, Lee. I mean, he loves him. Brady loves Godwin. You would think Brady will be back in 2022. Not a certainty. The guy's a very unique player, Lee. I call him Hines Ward. I think Hines Ward's a borderline Hall of Famer. I think I would vote for him if he came up, because I think Hines Ward's value goes beyond the numbers. I think Godwin is in that category. Lee, he's so gritty, so physical, played hurt last year, still made some great catches. It was phenomenal the year before when he was healthy. I can't see any situation where those guys aren't coming back. And, Lee, it wouldn't shock me if they get extensions before the season ends somehow. Light's got his own timetable. But here's the bottom line on the numbers. Vea and Godwin aren't going anywhere, Lee.
I'm a little surprised to hear about Godwin. Now, I know Bucks fans are probably screaming at their radios right now. I'm not anti-Godwin whatsoever. I sure hope he does come back. I just get the sense that, although I do know Godwin wants to come back to the Bucks, and apparently his agent is very vocal with our, at least has let Bucks known he wants to come back, but he's not going to be stupid either and not take any kind of deal the Bucks throw at him. I just have a hunch. You have better sources than I do, Ira. I just have a hunch that Godwin's going to test the market next year, unless, of course, the Bucks pull a Vito Corleone on him and offer him a deal he can't refuse.
You can't control Godwin's thinking and that of his agent. You can't. And if they don't think the Buck offer is acceptable, they will take their chances in free agency. I don't think he'll be franchised again by this franchise. I don't see that happening year two. That would be onerous from a Buck perspective.
Yeah.
But, Steve, I'm talking about from a team perspective. They very much want Godwin back, and they very much want Vea back, and they I don't think they're sitting on a fence and, you know, let's see what kind of year the guy has. I don't think so. I think they've made their minds up on both of these guys as a difference maker. And, Steve, let's remember, Mike Evans has been doing this since 2014. That's a long time. That's a long time. And he deserves to be the number one guy. He's a historic receiver in this league. But he's got tread, Steve. He's got tread. And that's a long time for a receiver. So I'm not saying he's going to leave, but I want Godwin back if I'm in the Buck front office, without question.
If Fia has another injury where he misses another, let's say, 10 games, are you a little hesitant to view the Bucks about bringing him back? Because, you know, to quote Bill Parcells, your best ability is your availability.
I believe he played all 16 games in 2019. Steve, I believe I'm right about that. But, you know, to Lee's point, I said barring injuries, you know, and yes, if Vay only plays 5 or 6 games, that would certainly make you hesitate to committing a large amount of money. But barring that, those guys are going to be back. You know, look, I haven't stopped. We're going to keep talking about this running back situation. I'm going to write about it, and I believe I will make a forceful case. I don't care if I'm the only guy in the world that says it, but I'm going to make a forceful case, and Leonard Fournette's not going to want to read it. That's a story that we will take into training camp, Steve, because let's be honest, gentlemen, it's the only competitive situation on this football team, really.
Well, it's going to be fun to watch it play out. The Bucs already did pick up Vea's fifth-year option, which would be 2022. So, we'll see. They're sort of committed, but, you know, they do have the chance to sort of change things and lock him up long-term and, you know, mess with the cap a bit. But obviously Godwin's more likely to have that done because he's making so much money this year. Real quick, Ira, let's give another thank you to Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com, sponsors, presenters of everything Ira does at JoeBucksFan.com. GM Sean Sullivan is waiting for you, waiting to hear from you. He wants to help you personally. He's your best friend, your favorite cousin, your happy uncle in the car business. Call him any question you got. He's going to take care of you personally, get you that Ira Kaufman discount. And our thanks to Big Storm Beer, the official beer, Florida's best craft beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. And everybody knows when you have that problem, when you have that disaster in your home, fire, flood, mold, you call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Check out all the information there. Ira, we'll wrap this up. Lee brought up a hunch, a topic, a premise, if you will, at JoeBucksFan.com. He sort of threw it out there that if every Buck receiver stays healthy, if the whole crew stays healthy this year, Lee said that, Mike Evans doesn't get those 1,000 yards if everybody's healthy because there's only one ball to go around. My gut says they would make sure if Evans himself is healthy that he gets those 1,000 yards. They did it last year. I would think they would do it again. You know, it's just my feeling. What do you think about that?
Well, I'll say this. When Mr. Lee DeKemper goes to Vegas later this summer, and goes to the sports book, maybe at Caesars or wherever, Lee, I want you to put $20 down, and I'm going to bet that Evans continues his streak. Couple of reasons. Steve's right. It's very much on their minds of Brady and Arians to keep that streak going, and Evans. And number two, Lee, and let's not discount it, an extra game. An extra game, Lee. And, you know, ultimately, Lee, and there's going to be another game in a few years. It'll be an 18-game schedule, and that's going to affect the NFL records. But, you know, Lee, they've done it before when they went from 14 to 16. It's not unprecedented. I believe it was 1978, maybe, that they went from 14 to 16.
I think you're right.
So, you know, that affected the NFL records, too. And Lee, when you do the math, and I told you I got a 98 on my math regents over there at the Kemper. I did. So when you do the math, 17-game schedule, I believe it comes out to about 60 yards per game. Doesn't mean Evans is going to play all 17 games. Doesn't guarantee that. But he's capable of 60 yards per game. But Steve's point is a good one, Lee. Boy, are they loaded in terms of targets. Wow.
You know, when Antonio Brown was healthy, he averaged more targets than Evans?
Very interestingly.
Yeah, it used to be the barometer for a really good rushing season was 1,000 yards. Then they
went
16 games, and it was like, okay, that's still not bad, but not that great. Well, with 17 games, that barometer is pretty much out the door, isn't it?
I think you're right, Lee. 1,000-yard rushing season, to me, that's not the real yardstick anymore. I'm going to look at yards per carry. And that takes me right to my column, DeKemper. Ronald Jones and that beautiful 5.1 yards per carry. Take it away, Steve.
Ira, when you mentioned 1978, all I could think of was your 30th birthday party at Studio 54. What a great time you must have had.
You know, I was up there with Jackie O, and I can't tell that story right now. Maybe a future podcast.